Everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world. And I'll tell you what, it's right around Christmas time. We have some great merchandise on there, great stuff you can buy as gifts. We'll get them to you, but we are running up on a deadline. So if you get a chance and you can get them, tell you what, the time is now to act. Anyway, folks, I'll tell you what, we've got some great stuff going on tonight. Offsides and Slobberknocker, college football's top 25 plus 5. And we're into the college bowls now, which is absolutely fantastic. So, you know what? We're excited. We're looking into it. And we're going to talk about it tonight. Anyway, I am Lupusol. Welcome to the Trim Radio Network. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, it's real easy. All you have to do is you got to give us a call, message us. We'll show you how easy it is to do, and you can start doing your own podcasts or whatever, and we have a great family here. So we have over 11, 12 different shows, and we have a lot of fun, and our group I'll tell you what, they couldn't be any more loving. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guests, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That great song there, oh, man, I love Amy Lee, and she just rocks it. But that's Evanescence right there, and that's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And we have a call-in number, and we want to hear from you. 803-866-1667, because we're going to talk football, and that's all we're going to talk about tonight. And you know what? We're going to go over it right now, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to put up what we got for the bowl games, and the final rankings I'm not really too worried about. Everyone that did tune in got to see SportsCenters and see the see how everything worked out as far as the top four. And a lot of people were griping, oh, Tennessee or Alabama isn't ahead of Ohio State. Here's the bottom line. One loss, two loss. I don't care what the score was or anything else like that. That's the bottom line. You had two losses. They could be close. 1 point, and they were. 1-3 and one by one. But the bottom line is you still had two losses. Ohio State had one. So that ends that subject. USC, you were there. You were in there. You couldn't take care of TCU. That's the way it goes. That's life. Or you couldn't take care of Utah. That's the way it goes. That's life. And Kansas State upset TCU. Yes, I get it. But here's the bottom line. That was their first loss. And it was a championship game. So they're not going to get bumped. USC got bumped because they had two losses then. And we're not going to put a two-loss team ahead of a one-loss team in a Power 5 division. It's just not going to happen. And Ohio State, understand, you're playing a rivalry game. And that is, anything can happen on that weekend. You have to look at the whole body of work. And they did that. I think they made the right choice. Now we look at the matchups. And, of course, Georgia is playing Ohio State. Can Ohio State win? You know, I don't know. Georgia is an incredible team. Kirby Smart has put together just the finest team around. They've turned into Bama. I said that before, and Bama turned into Georgia. And Georgia is the real, they're the real deal, man. And they've been number one. They've been number one all along. I like Michigan just as much as I like them because Michigan seems to have the whole, it took them 8 years. I mean, Harbaugh took him 8 years, but he's put it together. And it's smash-mouth football. They're physical. They're aggressive. They get after it. They have a lot of fun. So it's going to be interesting to see if TCU can hang with them. They're fast, and they're big, and we'll see, you know. But TCU has heart, man. They had heart. They played right to the last play, you know, with Kansas State. And I tell you, I was shocked. I was watching that quarterback. He's something else. He's just something else. And he just is incredible, and he's all heart. And it's going to take him everything that they've got to beat Michigan. So that's going to be interesting. My top four picks as we get into the semifinals, I honestly believe that Michigan is going to upset TCU, and it's not really an upset. They're picking it anyway. And can Ohio State hang with Georgia? Yeah, I've given this a lot of thought. It's good. They have the weapons. They have everything that they needed. They had everything that they needed to beat Michigan. The problem was, and I blame this solely on the coaching. Coaching. What plan did we have set up? How did we set it up? Where, you know, what happened? What went wrong? A lot of things went wrong. And if Ohio State can pull that together and they play the best game that they've played, yes, they can upset Georgia. I would not be surprised. But if Georgia gets off to like Michigan and it's smash mouth, you're going to see number one versus number two. And it's going to be Michigan and Georgia, and the outcome on that one is going to be really tough to call. I like the Big Ten in that one. I'm sorry. So I think either way, the Big Ten's going to upset. So it's either going to be Ohio State, Michigan, or Georgia, Michigan. But I like the Big Ten odds in this one to take it all. So that's how we're going to round that out. Now, as far as the bowl games behind that, let's take a look at them here. All right, so let's look. We've got the Miami Redhawks and the UAB, the Blazers. And I like Miami in this one. So the Blazers are good, no question about it, but I like Miami in this one. Utsa Roadrunners versus Troy Trojans. Both exceptional teams. Utsa has been just full of surprises this year. Troy is just is a really good team, but I like Utsa in this one. I like the Roadrunners. Cincinnati Bearcats and Louisville Cardinals. Well, we all know Luke Fickell. He's heading to Wisconsin. So now, is he going to hang around for the bowl game or not? I have not seen that yet. So, but take that into consideration. I'm going to go with Louisville Cardinals. I just don't know if they're going to be up for that game. And Cincinnati is a great team. Golly, he has really turned that team around. He has done an incredible job there. Congratulations, Luke Fickell, on your new endeavor, and we wish you the best. The Florida Gators and the Oregon State Beavers. Oregon State is a very good team. What team for Florida shows up is the question. So I'm going to go with Oregon State on that one. Washington State Cougars and Fresno State Bulldogs. Fresno State, yeah, they're full of surprises. And they did it, as a matter of fact, last week, and I was really surprised, but they did it. So I'm going to have to go with Fresno State Bulldogs on that one. Southern Miss, Golden Eagles versus the Rice Owls. I'm taking Southern Miss on that one. There's no question about that. And the BYU Cougars and the SMU Mustangs, Southern Methodist. What a matchup right there. Both teams can be explosive. BYU has always been pretty prolific on offense. I like the Cougars on that one. You know, I know they struggled towards the end, but they started out strong out the gate, and every team's going to have injuries and everything else. I don't want to talk about injuries or anything else. It's part of football. That's the way it goes. You're going to miss people during the year and everything like that. When teams are at full strength, hey, great. But the chances of that happening are almost just donut. It's never going to happen. North Texas Mean Green versus the Boise State Broncos. I'm taking Boise State. Boise State has an excellent bowl record, and they always do, so I like them. The Marshall Thundering Herd and the UConn Huskies. I'm going Marshall on this one all the way through. I think Marshall is the better team, and you know what? They're pretty strong. So Marshall's my pick there. Tuesday, December 20th, we have the Eastern Michigan Eagles, which I've got to be honest with you, I don't know much about, versus the San Jose State Spartans. San Jose, I have seen play, an exceptional team. I'm going to go with San Jose on this one only because I'm a little more familiar with them, not because they might be better or not, because I really don't know. And what a good team. They're, you know, just a good team. The Liberty Flames and the Toledo Rockets, very evenly matched teams. Toledo has been known, you know, as just a great team. A lot of championships and stuff behind them. The Liberty Flames this year, absolutely wonderful. And by the way, that's the Boca Raton Bowl. And I should be telling you guys what that is. So let's go back and take a look at that real quick. The Bahamas Bowl, that's Miami of Ohio, UAB Blazers. The Cure Bowl, Utsa Roadrunners versus Troy Trojans. Fiesta or Fenway Bowl is the Cincinnati Bearcats and Louisville Cardinals. The Las Vegas Bowl is the Florida Gators and Oregon State Beavers. The L.A. Bowl is the Washington State Cougars and the Fresno State Bulldogs. the Lending Tree Bowl, the Rice Owls, and Southern Miss Golden Eagles. New Mexico Bowl, SMU Mustangs and BYU Cougars. The Frisco Bowl, North Texas Mean Green and Boise State Broncos. And then, of course, the Myrtle Beach Bowl, which is right down here by me. That's the Marshall Thundering Herd and the UConn Huskies. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Well, that's Eastern Michigan Eagles and San Jose State Spartans. And then the Boca Raton Bowl, the Liberty Flames and the Toledo Rockets, what we just got done. And by the way, I am going to take Toledo on that one. New Orleans Bowl, the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. And also, they're playing the South Alabama Jaguars. So I'm going to go with on this one, I know South Alabama Jaguars, they are 10-2. They are tough. I have not seen them play. I watched part of a game. But I'm going to go with South Alabama Jaguars on that one over the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Armed Forces Bowl. Well, the Baylor Bears are going to go against the Air Force Falcons. I like the Bears. Yes, they're 6-6, but boy, do they have a lot of fight in them. They're very fast. And Air Force is good, but I'll tell you what, they're not Baylor Bears good, I don't believe. Friday, December 23rd, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns against the Houston Cougars. And the Raging Cajuns is one of these teams. I've enjoyed watching them play. They're fast, aggressive, and everything else. I like them. And I know Houston Cougars has done well. Tom Herman was there. He coached there for a while. But I like the Raging Cajuns. So I'm taking them. The Gasparilla Bowl. Wake Forest Demon Deacons versus the Missouri Tigers. Very evenly matched teams. Missouri can give you fits. They gave a lot of team fits, you know, in the SEC. And Wake Forest, you know, they hold their own quite well in the ACC. But I'm going to tell you something. This one I go ahead and I give to the Missouri Tigers. I think that they'll take that out in the Gasparilla Bowl. The Hawaii Bowl. Here we go. Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders at 7-5 are playing the San Diego State Aztecs at 7-5. I'll take San Diego State, the Aztecs. I like the Aztecs on this one. The Quick Lane Bowl. New Mexico State Aggies at 6-6 are going to be taking on Bowling Green Falcons 6-6. Again, both teams 6-6, very evenly matched, but I do like Bowling Green. They show up, so we're going to see how they do, but I like Bowling Green. So, and here we go. This one's a no-brainer for me, the Camilla Bowl. Georgia Southern Eagles versus the Buffalo Bulls, and I'm going to take the Buffalo Bulls on this one. They're incredible and a good team, very fast. Again, some of these smaller teams, people are not – they're giant slayers. They've proved it over and over and over again, and they've been very consistent at that. So I'm going with the Buffalo Bulls on that one. The First Responder Bowl with Memphis Tigers, and very good team, 6-6, against the Utah State Aggies at 6-6. This one was a tough one. I was giving this one some thought and everything like that, but I am going to go Utah State Aggies. I'm going to take the Aggies on this one. The Birmingham Bowl. The Coastal Carolina Chanteliers versus the East Carolina Pirates. The Chanteliers are 9-3, and the Pirates are 7-5. I'm looking for the upset here on this one. I got to tell you that. I'm going to go ahead and go with East Carolina Pirates on that one. The Guaranteed Rate Bowl. This one is the 6-6 Wisconsin Badgers versus the Oklahoma State Cowboys at 7-5. You know, the Badgers are not the Badgers of the past. Usually they always have that big running back. He's a brute. They attack all the ways around. It's just not that team. So whether that changes in the future, you know, we'll wait and see how that goes. But I like Oklahoma State Cowboys in that one. sorry, but I believe that the Big 12, they still got a lot of fight in them, and the Oklahoma State Cowboys always comes to play. So the Military Bowl, UFC Knights versus the Duke Blue Devils. The Knights are 9-4. The Blue Devils are 8-4. And of course, that's Wednesday, December 28th. And by the way, these last four games that I just talked about, Georgia Southern, Memphis, Coastal, that's the 27th. So this is the 28th. On this one, I like UFC. They're good. They're playing good ball. So I know they didn't finish it off that well, but you know what? They will in this one. Liberty Bowl. Arkansas Razorbacks versus the Kansas Jayhawks. I'm going, and of course, both teams are 6-6, but I'm going to take the Razorbacks on this one. SEC pulls away from the Big 12 on this one. That's the way it's going to go. The Holiday Bowl. The 9-3 Oregon Ducks versus the 9-4 North Carolina Tar Heels. That's at 8 o'clock. And I will tell you this. The Ducks are fast. Fast, fast, fast. And I know Mac, he tries to get them boys going and everything. This is going to be too much speed for Mac. And, he's a great head coach, but it's the talent. And the Oregon Ducks have more talent, and, they're just more capable. So I'm going with the Oregon Ducks on this one. Then we have the Texas Bowl, where we have Texas Tech Red Raiders versus the Ole Miss Rebels. Well, you know what? Lane's going to have them ready for this one. I promise you that. And I believe that Ole Miss Rebels will win this game. I know he stumbled at the end there. I don't know if it was a letdown at Alabama or whatever happened, and they stumbled. But I like Ole Miss on this one. I think Lane Kiffin is a good coach. He just needs to get them focused. Then we have the Syracuse Orange at 7-5 at the Minnesota Golden Gophers 8-4. And that's the Pinstripe Bowl, Thursday, December 29th. I'm going to go with the Big Ten on this one. I like Minnesota Golden Gophers. So they got an incredible running back. And I'll tell you what, more aggressive, one step away from the Big Ten championship with Purdue. So I like Minnesota in this one. Here's the Cheez-It Bowl. And, of course, again, that's Thursday, December 29th. Oklahoma Sooners at 6-6 are taking on Florida State Seminoles 9-3. Going with the ACC on this one. Florida State's a little too fast. They're way more aggressive, and they do real well in bowl games. So I'm going with Florida State in that one. The Alamo Bowl, Texas Longhorns, 8-4 at the Washington Huskies, 10-2. I like the Huskies in this one. Yes, Texas did, come up 7 short or whatever, or a field goal short against Alabama. But Washington has been true and through and through all the way down the line, man, for the Pac-12. So I'm going to tell you, Washington Huskies, I like them. I'm taking them. The Duke's Mayo Bowl, Friday, December 30th. Well, we have North Carolina State Wolfpack at 8-4 and the Maryland Terrapins at 7-5. This was a tough game to call, but I'm taking Maryland on this one all the way. Another win goes to the Big Ten. The Sun Bowl, the Pittsburgh Panthers, 8-4 at the UCLA Bruins. And the Panthers, again, out of the ACC, and the Bruins out of the Pac-12. I'm going to take UCLA on this one. And that was a tough call because Pittsburgh is really, really good team. And not as good as they were last year, but I'm going to tell you, very good team, but so is UCLA. And UCLA is big. If they run the big man, they're going to run them over. This is the hardest game that I think is going to be called here, and this one is the Gator Bowl, and it's the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at 8-4 against South Carolina's Gamecocks. That's right, my home team here, South Carolina, the Gamecocks at 8-4. That's at 3:30. Folks, I'm calling an upset right here. South Carolina Gamecocks over Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And it's going to be a very physical game. But I'm going to tell you, they are going to end up with 9 wins. They are going to take the Irish on out. And two very, very well-coached teams. Listen, Shane Beamer has done a fantastic job there. I think they're just discovering how good they are. And you know what? Freeman is great over at Notre Dame, and he's getting that team turned around. So I'll tell you what, but I like South Carolina in that game. That was a tough one to pick. The Ohio Bobcats and the Arizona Bowl at 9-4 are taking on the Wyoming Cowboys at 7-5. I'm going to take the Bobcats on that one. And here is one that everyone is interested in, and I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. It's the Orange Bowl. The Tennessee Volunteers at 10-2, taking on the Clemson Tigers at 11-2. I know what you're thinking, and we can argue about this all night long. Oh, you know, Hendon Hooker is not in the game. Tennessee is not going to have a chance. Let me tell you something about Milton. Milton is stepping up to the plate, and Milton is going to pass that ball as well as Hooker did, and they are very close. And those two, believe me, they rub off on each other. It's incredible. Clemson is just finding their quarterback in Kublik, and I just tell you, he's not ready yet for the Volunteers. The Volunteers definitely have a strong enough defense to hold Clemson Tigers. Clemson's defense is good, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're Tennessee Volunteer good. So I'm going to give that one to the SEC over the ACC. The Tennessee Volunteers end up at 11-2. And you know what, Hendon Hooker, God bless you. This guy was scraped out of the Heisman. And I've got to tell you, I think it was the biggest mistake because he was number one in the stats all the way through. And he got injured. And because he lost that game to the South Carolina Gamecocks, who are a good team, they left him out. There was no invite there for the finalists. I'm sorry. I think that was a terrible call. Horrendous. And Hooker deserved to be there, if not win it all. He outshined all those other quarterbacks. Absolutely wonderful. So anyway, I'm taking Tennessee Volunteers in that game. Saturday, December 31st. Here we go, guys. The Big Sixes. The Sugar Bowl, Alabama Clemson Crimson Tide at 10-2 against the Kansas State Wildcats at 10-3. Everything in my heart tells me take Alabama in this game. They're angry, they're mad, and I like Kansas State. They have fight. They won the championship over there at the Big 12, but they're going to be smacked. Okay, and I think Alabama is just going to roll the, well, we'll just let that go. Alabama Crimson Tide, SEC over Big 12 on that one. The Iowa Hawkeyes in the Music City Bowl going against the Kentucky Wildcats. I like the Wildcats on this one, SEC over Big 10. Iowa has the better defense, no question about it, but you got to have some kind of an offense, and I've got to tell you, the Salvation Army can put together a better offense than what the Iowa Hawkeyes have. So I'm going to have to go with the Kentucky Wildcats, SEC over Big Ten again. TCU Horned Frogs, and they are 12-1 going against the Michigan Wolverines at 13-0. Okay, and that's the Fiesta Bowl. Michigan. I'm sorry, but Michigan is a punch you in the face. We're going to beat you up, roll you over, and I'm just going to take Big Ten over the Big 12 in that one. Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Georgia Bulldogs. That's the Peach Bowl. 11-1 Ohio State taking on Georgia Bulldogs, 13-0. I'm going with the Georgia Bulldogs on this one. I believe Ohio State could win this game, but I'm going to tell you something. In all honesty here, Kirby Smart has the boys to play. He's got the talent. They've got just as much talent as the Buckeyes. He's a better coach. Ryan Day, I respect you. I like you, but I got to tell you something. Your conservativeness is going to cause the game to go in an ugly direction. And Jim Knowles is a great defensive coach, but you cannot let those mistakes that happened at Michigan happen with Georgia. They will crush you. And that team, they just don't make mistakes. So I'm taking the Bulldogs over the Buckeyes, the SEC over the Big Ten again. All right. As much as that hurt for me to say, and it did. Monday, January 2nd, Mississippi State Bulldogs at 8-4 against the Illinois Fighting Illini. The Big Ten gets back at the SEC. I like the Fighting Illini to take on Mississippi State Bulldogs. That's at 12 o'clock. The USC Trojans at 11-2 in the Cotton Bowl against the Tulane Green Wave at 11-2. I tell you what, Green Wave is healthy, and I'm giving it to them. They're an incredible team, and I think that they match up well. But and I think the Trojans are a little disappointed. They're coming off of a loss, so I'm going to take that into account. And it was an embarrassing loss. Been there, guys. Feel for you. But thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to go with Tulane on that one. The Citrus Bowl, the LSU Tigers at 9-4 against the Purdue Boilermakers at 8-5. Do not count Purdue out of this game. That's all I can tell you. I'm taking them. I'm taking the Purdue Boilermakers right there. Big Ten over SEC in that game. The Penn State Nittany Lions in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, against the Utah Utes at 5 o'clock. Utah Utes, folks. That's where the Pac-12 is going to get back at the Big Ten. And why? Because Franklin can't win the big game. It's just that simple. Much respect to the Utah Utes. By the way, thank you, Coach. I am grateful to you. I guess I shouldn't say that because of the beating that we're about to take. But thank you for giving us the opportunity. And that's it, man. That's it for Offsides. Wish I would have heard from you all or called in. But I tell you what, those are my picks. That's how I feel. That's how it's going to go. We'll see if I'm right or if I'm not right. But we're going to find out at the end of the bowl season. Anyway, God bless. Thank you for tuning in. Right up next is a slobber knocker with Austin Neely. And I'll tell you, the man could pick his games. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And he's got a lot to talk about. And here he comes right now. Let's put on this music here for him. Take a real quick break while we do that. But tune in. Slobber Knocker is up next. Cheese!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobber Knocker Talk with Austin Neely. Today, we're going to go over some scores and some interesting points for the last week's games. Let's start off with the Bills versus Patriots, 24 over 10. The Bills take the game. That was no surprise. Mac Jones is not anywhere near the caliber of Josh Allen. If something would ever happen to Mahomes, Josh Allen's going to be the face of the NFL, as Mahomes has been the last 3 years. Packers versus Bears, this game really came down to whose defense can get the ball more and who can do the big plays, and Justin Fields just cannot keep up to Aaron Rodgers. Again, another game. Either way, the Bears' defense is very stout, could have easily shut down Rodgers. Rodgers is just able to make plays that a young Bears defense wouldn't really understand to follow. Steelers versus Falcons, personally watched this game. It was a good game all the way through. Kenny Pickett looked good. Falcons, let's not go there. Steelers take it 19-16. Pickett is going to be their starting quarterback, definitely. Mason Rudolph and Trubisky. However they want to do that, second or third for Rudolph, I personally want to put him as second. Trubisky as third quarterback. As long as George Pickens can stay chill with his temper and not try to knock out anyone again, Steelers have a good core. Deontay Johnson, least amount drops in the last 2 years from any wide receiver. Expect that offensive core to do a lot better now that Claypool has been gone and not even producing for the Bears. So the Steelers made a good trade there. Jets versus Vikings, another game of quarterbacks who have a point to prove and two defenses that are the same kind of shutdown defense. The Vikings got the upper hand, but it was mostly all defense and running. Again, with the Jets, though, they were able to hold Justin Jefferson to only 45 yards, which is crazy because Jefferson is usually 100-150-yard receiver. Dalvin Cook was only able to get 86 yards on 80 attempts, and Madison was also only 14 yards, but that's where the two touchdowns came from, and the rest came from the kicking unit and defensively. Mike White, though, insane stats, no touchdowns. We'll go over that in a little bit. Do want to focus on that topic today. Jaguars versus Lions, two teams that both had a 4-7 record. Oof. This game was so back and forth between fans. Everyone wanted Lions, Jags, but since both teams had the same record, they're pretty equal offensively and defensively. Lions beat the Jags 40-14. No one was expecting that big of a score, but it happened. Next up is Titans versus Eagles, the NFC Titan, like the NFC head honcho, versus one of AFC's top dogs. Not the top dog, but one of them. Eagles keep their amazing record at 11-1, beating the Titans 35-10. Browns versus Texans. The game Deshaun Watson was allowed to play for the Browns. Man, did he look rusty. Not very good stats. He only had 131 yards. No touchdowns. One interception. Everything was scored defensively by the Browns, which is good. Everyone knows the Browns for their defense. Honestly, Watson's not there. Jacoby Brissett's not there. I feel like the Browns should take a quarterback in the first round of the draft coming up at the end of this year. Commanders versus Giants, two of NFC's teams had the same record, 7-5 and 7-4, just because the Giants got off a bye week. Now they both have a tied game. They tied it at 20-20. Two very balanced teams, but as of right now, the NFC, their division, every single team is en route to the playoffs. Broncos versus Ravens, what happened? That was a terrible, terrible game. Ravens 10, Broncos 9. I don't even want to go there. Everyone can say Lamar Jackson was hurt, Huntley this, and it don't matter. Russell Wilson, straight trash on the Broncos. He could have easily outplayed a backup quarterback against the Ravens and the Ravens defense, but he just can't do the job like he used to. 49ers versus Dolphins. I really thought the Dolphins were going to take this and still be one of the top AFC teams, and they are. They're 8-4. But with the win, the 49ers beat the Dolphins 33-17, but with the win now, the 49ers are in the playoff contention for the NFC at 8-4. And this is a team that started off losing the first couple of games. Most of their four losses actually were in the first, I believe, six games. So for them to come back like they have, that's really good. Seahawks versus Rams. Everyone expected the Seahawks to win, but they barely squeaked it out. Maybe the Rams can have two, three more wins, maybe. But Geno Smith for the Seahawks, he's getting it done. Good replacement for Russell Wilson. Seahawks 27-23. Raiders versus Chargers. This one took me by surprise, honestly. The Raiders versus Chargers game, everyone was rooting for the Chargers. I mean, they're one of AFC's top teams. And the Raiders are, you know, they're just there. They're usually the wild card team. Raiders take it 27-20. Herbert and Carr both look good. Herbert looking better. Just better play from the Raiders. Chiefs versus Bengals. Joe Burrow has beaten Patrick Mahomes three times in 1 year. The week before the playoffs, the playoff game, and now. The only quarterback to beat the same team three times in 1 year. And it's an elite level quarterback. The Bengals take it 27-24. Joe Burrow, he's hungry. He wants to win again. He at least wants to make it to the playoffs. They're 8-4 in that loss, but the Chiefs at 9-3. So the AFC is literally anyone's game. It's going to be good to watch their playoffs and see who gets the wild card, see who is the guaranteed spot. Right now, there's no number one AFC team except for the Bills. They are the shoo-in to take their division. But we'll see. Cowboys versus Colts. 54 Cowboys, 19 Colts. Again, Prescott didn't put up amazing numbers. 170 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. A lot of it was defense. That defense is scary. Very scary. Pollard had 2 rushing touchdowns. Elliott had 1 rushing touchdown. And Davis had 1 rushing touchdown. They're just looking good. Maybe they will be the NFC's top team if anything would happen to the Vikings, but they're definitely number 3 on the NFC. And finally, the most split game in our household was Saints versus Bucks, with everyone taking Saints over the Bucks, and they were wrong. The Bucks won by 1 point. Let's not even go there. 17-16. Some things I do want to touch on this week are Mike White and the Zach Wilson situation in New York. Wilson, the next 2 weeks, isn't even listed as a roster member. I don't know what's going on there, but Mike White is putting up way better numbers, 31 of 57, 369 yards. He did have 2 interceptions, but the Vikings defense is a ball hawk defense. If they see the ball, they're going for it. Another thing to point out on that game is Wilson. 8 receptions, 162 yards, 20.2 average. This guy's going places. He's not a big name. He's going to be a big name. He's going to continue to be better each year. And I believe getting rid of Wilson and keeping Mike White might be the best bet for the Jets. The Vikings, though, Kirk Cousins, a little shaken up from an injury before. Dalvin Cook looking good with the running. Still, to be able to hold the Vikings' high-power offense to this low of numbers, the Jets are doing something right. There was only 1-2 interceptions by a ball hawk team. So we're going to see how the Vikings go. Maybe the defense can keep giving Cousins the ball, keep giving them the chance to try. Another game I do want to touch base on is the Dolphins versus 49ers. Because even though the Dolphins lost, Tyreek Hill was still able to put up 146 yards with a 16.2 average and 1 touchdown to 9 receptions. Those are good numbers for someone who only had 17 points for the whole team, and he made up for 7 of them. Waddle didn't do good, but both of those receivers are in the top 5 for the receiving yards of the year. Let's go to the 49ers. Garoppolo only had 2 for 4, got shaken up, but Purdy took over, 25 for 37. 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Christian McCaffrey, 17 carries, 66 yards, 3.9 average. Christian McCaffrey again was their top receiver too at 8 receptions, 80 yards. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, they're there, but getting McCaffrey for the 49ers was the best bet they could have done. Next week, if you're going to gamble or bet, take the 49ers in their game for sure. With Christian McCaffrey, I don't think they're going to be stopped. anytime soon. Now let's go look at the Bengals, because this game caught me off guard. Ja'Marr Chase was hit 7 times, 97 yards. This is his first game back from an injury, and he's still looking like a top receiver. He had a fractured hip. We all know what happens there sometimes, like Tua Tagovailoa. You can literally be out for 2 whole seasons and still be shooken up as Tua's shakiness when he runs. Joe Burrow was 25 for 31, 286, 2 touchdowns. Another little fun fact I do want to focus on is the Steelers. Back to the Steelers again. Kenny Pickett had 16 for 28, 197 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interception. Now, those stats may not be good, but he was consistent, had a good passer rating, completed more than half of his passes. He has a good running back core. They used Najee Harris, Benny Snell Jr., Kenny Pickett, Derek Watt. They've used a whole slew of people to run the ball. And between all that running, there was almost 180 yards. That's crazy. Same thing with the receiving. Not a lot, but Cam Hayward's little brother got a touchdown. Deontay Johnson looks like he's back in his form. Firemuth, that tight end is crazy. 3 receptions, 76 yards, 25.3 average. The Steelers found a good tight end, and he was slept on. So we're going to see how that goes. The Cowboys, oof. Their stats were Dak Prescott, 20 for 30, good completion rating, 170 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Great. You can't really go against a Colts defense without expecting a sack or an interception. Tony Pollard, 12 carries, 91 yards, 7.6 average, 2 touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott, 17 carries, 77 yards, 4.5 average, 1 touchdown. Davis was 3 carries, 29 yards, 9.7 average, and 1 touchdown. C.D. Lamb was not big on the receiving numbers, but it's okay. He had 5 receptions, 71 yards, worth 14.2 average. And Mike Gallup, 4 receptions, 23 yards, 5.8 average, but 2 touchdowns. It's good to see that Dak Prescott's still relying on one of his older teammates, which is good. Because without the older teammates, you can't teach the younger teammates. And I firmly believe that. Let's talk about 2 wide receivers that aren't up there in yards, but they're a good combo. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf from the Seahawks. Lockett had 9 receptions, 128 yards, 14.2 average, 1 touchdown. DK Metcalf had 8 receptions, 127 yards, 15.9 average, 1 touchdown. And Noah Fant, who they got from Denver for the trade for Russell Wilson, 4 receptions, 42 yards, 10.5 average, and a touchdown. Between DK Metcalf and Noah Fant, they're 2 big-bodied guys. They're easily one of the better duos for contested catches. And there's no argue about that. They're just a different breed. Metcalf is a monster, if you guys remember his combine numbers. Another person I want to focus on is the Commanders. Wide receiver Terry McLaurin. The man has had 8 quarterbacks in his 3 years in the NFL. And he consistently puts up 100 to 150 yard games. Doesn't matter who he is, the quarterback is. He is a workhorse. He does not need to be on the Commanders. He needs to be on a team that can get him the ball more. Maybe if the Bills lose Beasley or the Jets lose Berrios, or, you know, say Cooper Kupp gets injured and the Rams need a wide receiver next year, Terry McLaurin, workhorse, great work ethic. Anyone in the interviews will tell you he is the first one on the field, the last one to leave. He's just incredible, humble dude too. He knows every single quarterback he caught a pass from and says he appreciates the opportunity from all of them. Just a good kid, good head on his shoulders. Another person I do want to focus on is Darius Slayton from the Giants. He's usually riddled with injuries, but this game he stepped up 6 receptions, 90 yards, 15.0 average, 0 touchdowns. But he's, like I said, for the other teams, he's that experienced receiver you need to teach the next generation with still life left on him. Saquon Barkley, 18 yards, 18 carries, 63 yards, 3.5 average, 1 touchdown. Not the form we're used to seeing from him. This is a guy who had a 225-yard game this year. He is between Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and I believe Tony Pollard, yeah, they all have already 1,300 rushing yards under their belt for the year, and it's been a constant power battle between those three for the rushing title this year. I believe they're going to give it to Derrick Henry because everyone, you know, praised King Henry, but there's another Alabama Tide running back who gets slept on, and that is Josh Jacobs. He's another person from Bama. There's Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, and Josh Jacobs. They all have broken each other's records. First it was Derrick Henry, then Josh Jacobs, then Najee Harris. Back to back to back, those three broke each other's records. Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 144 yards, 5.5 average, one touchdown. He has 1,237 yards in the season, and that was with him missing two games in the beginning. He's a monster. He's little, but he's a monster. He will bullnose you, but he will leap over you. You never know what he's going to do. He's shifty. He's patient. He's patient, and he's very, very calm to find the hole and get through it. If you do fantasy bets on players, bet on Jacobs. Davante Adams, though, looking good after leaving Rodgers. 8 receptions, 177 yards, 22.1 average, 2 touchdowns. That is crazy numbers. The dude's getting open. He's running deep. But besides the games, let's focus on my top five. For the AFC, I'm going to do Bills. They're 9-3. I am going to put them over the Chiefs just because the Bills need it. They need a win. They need a playoff run that's good, and I believe they can do it. I believe if any team can dethrone the Chiefs in the AFC, it's going to be them. And second is going to be the Chiefs. Obvious reasons, they have the next best record. Then I'm going to do Bengals. Burrow wants to go back to the playoffs. You can see it in his face. You can see that he wants to do it. He's not going to be a good spot like the Dolphins or the Titans, but he's going to get there. Dolphins are also going to go in. No specific order. These are the teams I think are going to be there. Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua. Scary, scary combo. The Titans, They're gonna be in a wild card game with the Jets. Those are gonna be your two wild card games. They're gonna hold a winning record up until the playoffs, and then wild card game, they're gonna face each other to see who goes. I do want to say the Ravens, but it's about time for choke season for them. Lamar Jackson's good. Don't take it the wrong way, but if he hurt his knee and Huntley takes over, if he goes against a defense like the Browns or the Steelers or even the Jets, or I don't know their schedule coming up. I just go week by week. But if they face any of the top-tier defenses, Huntley ain't going to do it, especially if Lamar's as bad as they're thinking. Who? And then I'm going to say Chargers might squeak in. For NFC, obviously the Vikings and Eagles, they have the best record in the NFL. The Eagles are 11-1. The Vikings are 9-3, I believe. Let me check on that. Yes. No, they're 10-2. So, yeah, definitely the Eagles and the Vikings. The Vikings have not had a playoff game in 15 years. So we're going to see where that goes. So those two teams. Also for NFC, Commanders and Giants, as long as they can continue to win. No one knows how the Giants are winning. I'm going to just throw that out there. There's this guy I watch on Facebook. He does these little skits. And the whole NFC East, or I believe it's the East, whatever subdivision is in NFC with the Commanders and Giants, all the teams are jokingly sitting around. They're like, well, we're here because we have a top-tier defense. You know, beat the Eagles. That stuff. Everyone looks at the Giants, they're like, why are you here? And they're like, we don't even know. We just get lucky. So maybe they're going to continue to get lucky. Definitely the 49ers, they definitely snuck up and took that playoff spot. They're going to stay there. And Cowboys, yeah, Cowboys. My personal opinion is I don't want to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl again. I don't want to see the Bucks in the Super Bowl again. I'm tired of Brady. I'm tired of Mahomes. I respect them. Without Brady, there wouldn't be a Mahomes. There wouldn't be a Josh Allen. There wouldn't be a Mike White. There wouldn't be a Mac Jones. Even Jimmy Garoppolo. He played under Brady in New England. So did Jacoby Brissett. So no disrespect to Brady, but he's paved the way for the newer generation for sure. Mahomes, though, he took that road Brady opened, and he just ran right through it and continued to open the doors for Allen. Everyone wouldn't have noticed Allen's skill except for the one time he went toe-to-toe with Mahomes, and they both had 400 yards in a game, and that was a year ago. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Brady acknowledged Jackson to be one of the next best, which is ridiculous because Brady usually keeps to himself, doesn't compliment other quarterbacks because he's all about him, clearly why he's divorced. he just doesn't understand the concept of other people in his life. But for him to go out of his way and acknowledge Jackson personally in a game, that was incredible. Dak Prescott, he's part of the in-between generation. Not quite Brady's generation, not quite Mahomes, but he's in there. But Burrow and Mike White and Geno Smith, every young quarterback or just recently starting quarterback, even though they've been in the league before, they've had doors opened by Mahomes and Brady, but I still don't want to see either one of those two clowns in the Super Bowl. I'm tired of Kermit the Frog, and I'm tired of Divorcey Boy. Completely tired of them. I would like to see Allen win that Super Bowl he tried so hard for 2 years in a row and got beat by Mahomes. I would love to see the Eagles win again. It's been since 2018. It's due. They're in a state full of nothing but champions. If you go to the other side of the state, Pittsburgh, the whole city between all three of their teams hold a lot of championships. I believe in the top five states, they're in there for the most championships won by all sports contested. So it's kind of sad that Pittsburgh is carrying Philly, and it should be the other way around. Philly has had heck of ball players for 30, 40 years. It's just their coaches are like, hey, what are we supposed to do? Do we tell them to run it? Do we tell them to throw it? Do they know how to shut down an offense? Same thing with their basketball. We're not even going to go there. But Philly's just a joke using their players. And it's just like the Browns. They've had Super Bowl players. A lot of players who've left the Browns went to teams, won Super Bowls, and put up amazing numbers. Just bad coaching. Commanders as well. I don't know what is going on with them, but their quarterback, their coaching, their defensive coordinator situation, they need to just wipe out all the coaching, get rid of the owner, which they've been talking about doing, and just renaming the team. And just changing everything about them. They went from Redskins, which was seen as racist, to Commanders. Just let that sink in. I'm not going to point that out. Y'all are adults. Figure it out. You should know that history right there. But other than that, I don't have anything else to say. You can enjoy Take Point 22 with Michael Bejos. And have a good night.